Brilliant to see you today, to come together to worship some old familiar faces and some new faces. Not that you're old, but we've got old friends here that used to be here and they're now living somewhere else. It's great to see them. They love visiting us, I think that's what. And we love them visiting. Let's look at the book of Samuel this morning and hear God's word personally. To Samuel. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is useful for building us up, strengthening us, and giving us your mind. And we pray today, Lord, that we would receive your word and that you would use what you put into us to actually see fruit for your kingdom. Thank you for an advancing time this morning. As we've worshipped, Lord, there has been an advance of revelation of you and of your kingdom. But we pray now, Lord, that you would bring about change in us, that would bring about amazing transformation of people around us and things around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to look at verse 11. A man called, chapter 23, didn't you know? Oh, no. Chapter 23, verse 11. Just took a few verses here. This is speaking about David's mighty men. David, the king who slew Goliath, is famous probably the world over for getting rid of Goliath. Could I have a little less? Thank you. And he had these mighty men, and he had three top guys. And this is the third top warrior, a mighty warrior. And his name was Shammah. And it says, verse 11, after him, after the previous mighty man, was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. This is a really, for me, a wonderful short story of a man who was unwilling to give up territory that God had given and say, actually, these lentils we're keeping. Now, you might look at it in your mind and say, is it really worth fighting for a field of lentils? But if you think about that field, even naturally speaking, that field would feed his family and probably hundreds of others. And so the fruit that comes out of land is actually important for us to live on and to enjoy as people and to actually benefit many others with. And it says here, the Lord brought about a great victory. And I believe with all of my heart that Jesus wants to bring about great victories. But we have to have the mind of Jesus in our circumstance. We have to know that he's called us to take our ground and to fight, spiritually speaking, for the ground that God wants to give us and has already even given us. And this little story gives us a bit of insight into the spirit world. Many times we get so locked down in the natural, we get so focused on natural things, that we actually miss out a very real kind of battle or struggle going on between God's people and God's kingdom and God's will on earth and an enemy which Jesus identified as Satan. Satan is the chief, I suppose, the top guy in the kingdom of darkness, and he has a hierarchy of principalities and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And Paul says, if we're to have our God's glasses on, that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, isn't against natural things, but about the unseen reality of powers and principalities, demonic influences that come against God's will and God's people. And so if we're to see with the eyes that God wants us to see with, which is through his word, that the word brings light onto this, this is not speaking about a battle against people. Because we're not here to fight people, we're here to see people saved. To love people like Jesus has called us to love them. But we do have a very real enemy, and Jesus said Satan comes. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy the very best that Jesus wants to bring. There will be opposition to us living in, eating, enjoying ourselves personally what God wants to do and bless us with. And what God wants to do through our lives to bless many. And so there's a lot at stake. And I believe the field, whenever I hear that terminology, it makes my mind go to the New Testament when Paul speaks about the church and every believer actually. Paul says, you are God's field. You are God's field. Now, we don't like to think of ourselves as fields, but it's for us to get our thinking right that we are the place where God wants to produce a harvest of Jesus and a harvest of his will. And Jesus taught about this in the parable of the sower. He said the soil is your heart, where God sows his seed, which is the word or the promises of God. And therefore that land of your heart is where God produces a harvest. And it's progressive. It's growing. Whatever is put in and received in good soil is going to grow up and produce. Now, this particular example in Samuel, the point at which the enemy's coming in to steal is an interesting point. Because it's not when they were sowing the seed. It wasn't even at the beginning of the growth of that promise or the things that God had said he wanted to provide. It was towards the end, just before harvest. Now, for me, I believe there are many promises that are in the hearts of God's people. Right here. Right now, the things God has said, the promises that have been sown, the word of God, Peter says there are the exceedingly great and precious promises that God has sown into our hearts, whether they're for our personal lives, for our families, our relationships, whether they're for our working lives, the influence that God wants to bring through our work. And the blessing he wants to bring to us through work. Whether it's for the church, the local church, where God always gives and speaks promises. Or whether it's for the unsaved, where God has promised that many will be added to the church, those who are being saved. And so there are these promises that are already growing. We know that we always need to sow. But I think the insight this morning the Spirit wants to give us is that there are promises that have grown to such a point we are nearing the harvest. And so lentils apparently grow between, and I'm going to use inches because it's me, 18 inches to 2 feet. So it's probably about knee high for this soldier of Christ who stood in the middle of this field. So the lentils are around there. And they're a bit kind of like a trip hazard. If I'm honest, they wouldn't pass in a buildings check because, you know, they would be a trip hazard. And so this guy is stationing himself in the middle of a field just before the harvest with these lentils up to his knees. And I believe with all of my heart that you've got promises in you for your life. I believe you've got promises for your family, your children, your grandchildren. I believe you've received the promise that we have as a church that God is raising up and will raise up an exceedingly great army. I believe we've seen the Lord sow into our hearts that the latter days will be greater than the former. That we've received these seeds of God's word and that they're growing. Plus all the ones that you can think of for your health, for your future provision that God has promised. All the good things that God says, they're in us. They're in the field, God's field, and they're growing up. And at just this point, the enemy bands together against what? He wants the field because he wants what's in the field. Because if he gets what's in the field, he gets what God wants to do to glorify Jesus and to see his kingdom come on earth. And so he's after the field. He's after the field. He wants to take, to steal the very good things that God has promised us. And so if it's just about harvest time, guys, it's not time to run and leave the field. It's not time to give up because things have been coming against us. It's not time to be intimidated. It's time to be a soldier in Christ Jesus and take a stand for God's will for our lives. That's the time we're in spiritually. It was really interesting. I was having some time with the Lord on Tuesday night. And just with the Lord worshiping him. And I had this picture. And if I could ask James Dakin to stand up here quickly, because he's a bit taller than most, which is why I chose him. And I felt like I was standing there, and it was like the enemy, as in James. No, not James. He's not the enemy. He came and... go on, hit me on the shoulders, just a little, and push me back. But it was a bit stronger than that. Now, in the natural, there's no way that I could stand my ground. But, by my God, I can advance against a troop. Sit down, boy. And Pastor Andrea reminded me, in Christ, we are like a tank. That we're no pushover. But we've just got to have the mind of Christ. That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But I'm not just going to live by that information. I'm going to use what I have in Christ to get the enemy off this field. So that I will see the harvest of what God has promised. Amen. Amen. And so, I like Shammah. And I like him a lot. And so does Jesus. Because God is able to bring about a great victory with somebody who will stand their ground and not let Satan take what God has promised. Jesus will back that warrior all the way. But the runner is going to leave the field and not see the good that God has promised. In himself, Shammah knew that he couldn't win. And that's actually one of the greatest advantages in our Christian life. That it's not us, but it's Christ in us. Psalm 18 says, by my God, by him, Christ in me, I can advance against a troop. By my God, I can. And we face opposition. I face opposition. You face opposition. We even have times where we have seasons where it seems that everything seems to be pushing in to try and steal, kill and destroy the very things that God has promised. I was with a friend this week, someone I'm standing with, for their field of inheritance, for them to see what God has promised. And there was bad news that came in. And I literally, well, to be honest, I got a bit miffed. Not with the Lord, because he's not the problem. But I got miffed with the enemy. And I thought, you're not having this. What God has said, he's going to do. And I'm going to stand my ground in the promise of the Lord and say no. And I'm going to stand and resist the enemy and pray until I see this change. And I know I will see a change because we're nearing harvest time. So I'm not moving is the stance of a warrior. Even when you've seen things not work, it's still the stance of a warrior. Someone who's a soldier in Christ, who is willing to take the stand for the things that God has said and promised for us. We need some Shammahs. The church needs a whole bunch of Shammahs who will take their stand for the next generation, who will take their stand for the promises, for their families, and for their marriages, and for their circumstances, their work, for the things that God has spoken. We need people to take a stand for souls to be saved. Because we are at war. But let me tell you, it's no contest, because Satan has already been defeated. But we have to stand with the weapons. No soldier stands without knowing what their weapons are. And no soldier stands without knowing that they have God with them to win it. There is this wonderful scripture in Psalm 5. Let's just turn there because I feel it's going to be Psalm 5, verse 12. It's a promise. I love this promise. I love it for me and I love it for you. I love it for you. God loves it for you. That's why he said in Christ, all the promises are yes. This is yes from God. Are you ready for the big yes and amen from God? He says in verse 12, surely you will bless the righteous with favor, or you surround them with your favor as with a shield. Surely, say surely. Surely God will bless. Surely. Hang on, what's a surely? Certainly, a definitely. God's saying, I will definitely bless the righteous. Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who are made righteous by faith in Jesus. It's a gift. Surely you will, Lord, bless the righteous. It's in my field. Is it in yours? That's the ground Jesus wants you to take. Surely you will bless the righteous. You surround them with favor, unearned blessing, both with God and man. That's Jesus. Through Jesus comes grace, which is another word for favor. Unearned favor and blessing on your life. May the Lord bless you with favor. May you be surrounded like a shield, protected and delivered from all evil. May the Lord bless you and bless you and bless you. And surely he will. Amen. Think surely he will bless. And the devil's after that. He wants to band together against everything, every good thing that God has said. I find it interesting that in the same kind of passage and same verses, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life in its fullness, but the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In the same thing. So I will bless the righteous with favor as with a shield, and then the devil will want to steal what God wants to give. So we see the need for soldiers. We see the need for our lives to make, to take a stand against the enemy, so that we will see these lentils harvested. It's time for the lentil harvest. It's time for the lentils. And this is the thing that we just need to see, that there is increased opposition against the purpose and the will and of God for our lives. The thing is as well, beloved soldiers of Christ, if you leave the lentils, the devil will take the carrots as well. Give up one piece of ground, guess what? He's moved a bit closer to the next piece of ground. So the lentils are worth fighting for, because there's bigger things that God's growing in your field. And so we have to take that stand. You're not even having a little bit of the blessing that God wants to give me. You're not even going to have any of it. Okay. Territorial. He's just like, hello. Not on my watch. God gave it. It's my inheritance. Not having it. God gave it to me for my family. You're not having it. God gave it to me for my church. You're definitely not having it. This church matters in the purpose of God. He's got a plan for this church. And it's time for us to take this soldier stance. Not fighting with human weapons. You see, we are to take our stand in Christ, which is the armor. Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God, where Christ is our righteousness, and we're at peace with God and peace with others. That we have a helmet of salvation on, which is the mind of Christ, that our brains, our minds are filled with truth. That we don't allow the enemy to be a plaything in our head, but we win the war in our head. Surely you will bless the righteous with favor. That's my helmet. Belt of truth. Surely, that's the truth. Surely, God has made me righteous in Christ. But we also have to stand on righteous ground. That guy took his station in the middle of the field. And in Christ, by faith, we're righteous. But we also need to be standing in his will, God's will. There's no point me praying if I'm outside God's will. I need to be in the will of God. So we're to stand in Christ, in our position. Stand in his will. Am I lined up really? Is my life, am I making the right decisions and choices that please God? Am I in his will? Am I serving him? Am I doing what he's asking me to do? That's essentially the life of a soldier. It's essentially, we've got a commanding officer or a commander in chief, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior. Am I in his will? If not, it's time to get in so that I can stand against the enemy. So stand in before you stand against. Stand in before you stand against. Stand in Christ, in his will, before you win the battle against what the enemy is wanting to steal. But then, of course, this soldier, Mr. Shammah, he had trusted weapons. And to be honest, the first thing that he had was faith in God. I love this, because It would be insane. It would be crazy to take your stand against such an amassed enemy. And you know, his faith was like a shield. If you think about the middle of that field, it's actually a bad battle position. Because all the way around, you're open to ambush. They've got no cover except for one direction. Or maybe if you're really skilled, two. But what about this? And what about this? And what about the other side? So this guy's taking his stand in the middle of the field going, he is a shield to all who trust in him. Talk about armor plating. I've got my plating on. Any dart, anything that comes against me won't even penetrate, because nothing can penetrate what God has protected. And who does he protect? Those who trust in him. I'm trusting in you. And I can see Shammah there going, trust in you, Jesus. Everybody else has run. I seem to be on my own in this. And sometimes we do. Sometimes it's a lonely stand, guys, where you have to take your stand and you say, well, everybody else seems to have disappeared. And I thank God for the prayer warriors that are in this church, because I know you're here. But I thank God that more will be rallied to take the stand today to pray for the things that God has spoken. And Shammah took his stand and he said, Lord, I trust you. There's no weapon formed against me that's going to prosper. So the enemy can't, as Jesus said, no harm will come near you. Wonderful. But he had faith in God. The next thing he had was a sword. And Paul said that we're to take up the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6. The sword of the Spirit is the word that God gives. The promise you have is the sword. What has God said? Take it up and declare it. You see, we think that we've got to do a whole lot more than just speak the word. Hello? Intelligence makes you want to say, there's a whole lot more I could be doing right now. But I'm going to take my ground in Christ, stand in faith, and I'm going to take up the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, and begin to proclaim, to make declarations. Now, this is where there sometimes is a missing bit in our armor. That we put down the sword and we stop speaking or declaring the word. So, for example, Psalm 5:12. Surely you will bless the righteous with favor as with a shield. I'll declare the word in the face of the attack. And I will say things like this. Jesus has given me authority. I don't know if you've read it, devil, but I know it. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I've got authority over you, so right now I'm using it and saying, no, you're not having my field. So that's a proactive thing for a soldier to do. He doesn't just stand there and go, oh, that was another hit. Oh, no, there's another one. He stands with that victorious sword. If it's the sword of the Spirit, it's the sword of God. I reckon God's sword could deal with any enemy you're facing. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, he wasn't feeling sorry for himself. Because often when the enemy comes and things go wrong, why has it happened to me? Well, it's happened to us all, darling. But we've had to find our faith in God again to take our stand and say, I'm not backing down. I'm not lying down. I'm not crying over, I shouldn't say spilt milk, but you know what I mean. I'm going to take my stand and say, Lord, you're going to bless me. I'm going to stand on this promise. surely the Lord will bless my life. Even if it looks bad, I'm going to say it and declare it in the face of what the enemy seems to have done. The sword of God will bring the victory. Declaration. But also, Paul mentions after the sword comes prayer. Say prayer. Prayer makes tremendous power available. If I was Shammah, I would want tremendous power available. Would you? I'd want the word to go out and do what the word does. But then I'd want prayer to come in, to bring God's power into tremendous victory into that situation. And so Paul says, when you've taken up your sword, then he says praying in the spirit. So your other stance is to be praying spirit-led prayers or spirit-given prayers. Now, if you think about the story of Elijah, he was told by the Lord it wouldn't rain in Israel for 3 years, and it didn't. And then God said, I want you to declare now, which was the sword of God, in a famine. I want you to speak the word in this famine where it seems impossible to see change. I want you to say, thus saith the Lord, rain's coming. And then Elijah didn't just speak it. He was a prophet, but he spoke the word. Then he went to pray it. And he went up on Mount Carmel and he began to pray. Some of you have already switched off, but this is the only way you're going to get what God wants to do in your life. Don't switch off, switch on. Switch on to the ways of God. Do not leave the room, because God's got a tremendous victory for you today, and I don't want you to miss it, and I want you to see it for yourself. Because once you start to see it for yourself, you'll start to see it for your family, and you'll start to see it for your community. It makes a difference to win. And so Elijah went up on Mount Carmel, and he began to pray. And he didn't just pray once. That's what effective fervent prayer does. It doesn't just pray once with a bit of fire. God, send the rain. And he said to his servant, go out and see, is there any rain? Nope, no rain. And he kept going again and again and again. And symbolically, he sent the servant out. Any sign yet? 7 times. And on the 7th time, the servant came back and went, Elijah, there's a tiny, tiny, tiny sign in the sky. There's a little bit of evidence of what you've declared and are praying. And that little cloud, I can see there's a cloud. We haven't had a cloud in Israel for 3 years, but I can see a cloud. And Elijah went, job done, I'm off. He prayed until this looked like this. Until circumstances began to look like the word of God or the promise of God. And we've got to keep praying until this situation looks like the word of God, the promise of God. And I'm here to encourage you today. It isn't over because the enemy's come in. It's time to take your stand and begin to pray. But our confidence in prayer, and I'm going to finish this with this. Our confidence is in the will of God, knowing that will. Otherwise, you will begin to accept things that are not acceptable in God's mind. Sometimes we just start to accept things. Well, it's just the way of ordinary life. It's just what happens in families. It's just what happens these days. Well, I don't want to accept it. I want to accept God's word. I want to accept what God says, not what I see around me. That's called belief. That's called faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we haven't yet seen. We've got to be praying things we haven't yet seen. We haven't yet seen. Because God has shown it. We have seen it here. And we're going to see it there. I'm going to declare it. Stand my ground. Resist the enemy. And pray fervently, continually, until this looks like this. Confidence, if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us and we know we have what we ask for. That's what 1 John 5:14 says. We have confidence. Confidence is not based on what I think or what I want. It's based on His will. We don't have to accept anything we know isn't His will. I'm going to say something now I didn't think I was going to say. I thought it was a bit strange. But I think acceptance of life is like the devil's disease. He likes to spread it. It's a disease that can spread in your life. Oh, I just accept life's like that. I just accept my family are like that. I just accept that the church isn't seeing what God is. I just accept what's happening in the nation. Or we've got a soldier who's going to say, I don't accept. I'm not having. There's a good field here, and I'm not running. I'm standing until I see this come to fulfillment, because this is what God has said. And the trials of life, the tests of life, produce an endurance. It says, and this is what a soldier does, he keeps going. He endures hardship. He'll stand for Christ. Stand for the promise. Stand for miracles. Stand for a God who changes lives. Stand for people being free from addiction in an instant because Jesus is here. Stand for what we haven't yet seen. Confidence. It's not His will that any man perish. I say it again. It's not His will. Where's our confidence in His will? What does Jesus say? Pray His will. Have you got somebody you know who's unsaved? Don't question, is it God's will to save them? Have confidence in prayer and pray. Lord, it's not Your will. Which means it is Your will to save them. So I'm praying. And I'm going to stand until I see that cloud. Thank You, Jesus. Acceptance is the devil's weapon to bring doubt and unbelief into this generation so that we never see the power of God. Shammah saw a victory because he stood. Don't just come to church. Stand. Stand. Stand in the word. Stand in the promises. Stand in Christ, in your workplace, in your family life. Everywhere we are, we're taking a stand for what is righteous in God's eyes. Well, it's never worked for me. Well, maybe you didn't work it right. I'm teaching this morning how it works from the Word of God, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, praying, Spirit-led prayers. And the good thing about the Holy Spirit, God is so good that when you're on a journey, He encourages you every step of the way. You may start with just one promise, but as you take that stand and pray, God will keep encouraging you, speaking encouragement until you begin to see that this now looks like it should. It looks like it should. Do not down tools, church. Pick them up and begin to pray. Thank You, Jesus. See, it's critical that our confidence comes from knowing His will, because we'll even talk to other believers who say it's not. I've talked to them. I'm like, well, that's a bit of acceptance. That's just how it is. Well, it's not how it is. Because these things that are unseen are eternal, they're truer, and they're more powerful than what I see. And so this has power to change this. Providing I partner with God in it, it's all going to change. It's all going to change. It's all going to change. Right side up, time. God side up. Amen. And we need that little bit of grit, true grit. Grit, grit, grit. Do you know what grit is? Christian grit. This isn't right. I'm supposed to be running you out of town. You shouldn't be running me out of town. The enemy shouldn't be running us out. We're running him out. Which way is this thing going in your life? You're going to get a bit of true grit this morning and stand and say, oh, do you know what? I've been accepting stuff I shouldn't have been accepting. What am I doing? Sometimes I'm like that. What am I doing? I was even about like that about something this morning. I thought, hang on a minute. That's not right. I'm not having that. And we need that. Holy Spirit, that's not right. Witness inside. The field. The incredible inheritance we have in Christ. The awesome promises that are ours. It's not right. We're going to see them get off. Leave this field now. God, make tremendous power available. Make tremendous power wherever you're at today. Whatever has gone before, we have to say, right, this is where I stand now. I've had the experiences of defeat. I didn't like it. But it doesn't change God's will for victory. I've experienced the enemy stealing. I didn't like it. I'm not perfect, as you probably have already thought. But Jesus is, his word is, his ways are, and I'm going to take my ground and take a stand for his will. Shama. Say the word. Go on, say it. Some of you may know Hebrew, and I don't know how you say it. Shema. Or, it sounds a bit better actually, Shema. But Shema, however you say it, I want to be like him. He's put something in me today, his little story from the Word of God, that says, hang on a minute, let's stand. Let's. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I am not going to stop until this situation looks like the Word of God. I'm not leaving the ground. I'm not deserting the field. My heart is valuable. The promises are amazing. They're growing. Many are near harvest. And they're not going to be cut short. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for true grit, the spirit of might, that warrior spirit on the inside of each one of us, the spirit of might that says no and brings great victories. Thank you, it's not by our own human ability, but about your victory, Jesus. And what you want to do through us. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to speak a word from Jeremiah over you. And you're going to, some of you maybe never heard this before. Don't know how much you've read your Bible. It says here, you are my battle axe. and weapons of war, the Lord says. That's not your wife. You, church, are my battle axe, weapons of war. With you I will break the nations in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will destroy, go on, say it with me, God will destroy. And Jesus wants us to come against the works of the enemy in our lives and in other people's lives and see the kingdoms of darkness defeated, because we are his battle axe, his weapon of war. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He hasn't got us where we are to not see victory. It's not that we haven't seen everything we'd hoped for happen, but it's where we stand now. It's what we stand for is his will on earth as it is in heaven. That's who we are as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ. We're here for his will on earth as it is in heaven. He wants this heaven on earth. And so we, not in our own bravado, but in the strength which he supplies, standing on the promises for our grandchildren, I believe there are generations behind this stand. Your children and your children's children will be saved. All our children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. We're standing for it. We're standing for this. I really feel this. This is good ground. That we're standing in a place where God says, this is my field, it's good ground. And that God is actually going to do a lot through this field because of what he's sown into it. But I also believe that there is a struggle, a war for it, which we have to recognize this morning and take the sword of the Spirit and take prayer, take it to prayer until this looks like this. And beloved, whatever the enemy's done, the Lord will give back more. He will, because he's good. Everything about Jesus is good. And everything he does is good. So whatever the enemy has taken, the Lord has a way to bless you. Can I have Psalm 5, verse 12? We're going to use the sword and pray. We're going to use this personally first and pray. Surely you will bless the righteous with favor as with a shield. Let's just speak it out over our lives and then begin to pray it. Lord, let this be a living experience in my life.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.